And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. This is episode 1001. By the way, I've got these balloons behind me if you're on the stream. I thought about getting a one and then getting all the numbers and just keep on just putting on a new balloon number after every single episode. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. With me today, as always on Mondays, is my good friend, Michele Barra. Michele, what is up?
Well, new millennium, apparently. So I'm glad to be on episode 1001. That is awesome.
I just continue to be overwhelmed by the response to our 1000th episode. I keep getting emails and DMs and tweets.
You shouldn't be.
It is overwhelming to me. And I feel so blessed and just honored to be able to do this. And for it to mean something to so many people. I mean, it has blown me away, and it's been so great to do. I'm glad that we did it the way we did it because I don't know. It was really great. It was really life-giving to me. There's tons of people I miss shouting out, but the one that I didn't shout out that I felt the most bad about all weekend. And this is how my brain works. It's like we do this really fun episode, and then I just think about the things I didn't do on it all weekend. I didn't shout out John Hamm on that pod, and it's my biggest regret because John Hamm was on our Wednesday show. It was Hot Ham Wednesday every week. He provided a lot of content for us, through the years. And then when the Dream Team started, kind of took him out of the rotation just so that we could have, exclusivity with Ham in podcast form over there. So, big shouts to John Hamm. He's been a good friend to me. He's been a great podcast host for After Dark. If you listen to that, he and Michele do a really good job. I was flabbergasted that you guys recorded 27 minutes for this last episode. I looked at that, there's been very few things that have just knocked me out whenever I look at the podcast feed, but that was one of them. I was like, 27 minutes. I listened to all 27 minutes. It was great. Blew me away. You did that long of a show. But shouts to John Hamm and for, his contributions to Down to Dunk and then his contributions to making the Thunder fan base just a smarter fan base. So big shouts.
Yeah, John is great. And if you allow, Andrew, I want to say a few words because, I mean, on Friday I was in a no good microphone, no nothing. It was kind of hearing and not hearing. When you say, well, I'm overwhelmed, blah, blah, blah. Yes, it's great. But you need to understand how important this podcast is to people. It was to me because thanks to you and to the exposure and to... I got access to things that I couldn't believe. I could work on an article with Fred Katz, mainly because we did this podcast together. And so it's good. And it's really family. When you hear, well, even if I'm part of the group, every Friday I listen to I wait for the podcast to drop, and on every Wednesday I wait for the podcast to drop, and because it's part of your life and it's part of your routine and it gives you comfort when you have a bad day at work. I mean, you can laugh when Taylor goes crazy. I mean, the trivia, I mean, I know that Jay said that it was, kind of hard to do all this recording, but for us listener, that was, it was in the middle of the pandemic, and the only thing that you could do was take a walk and listen to a podcast because there was nothing else literally to do. So it's unbelievable. You deserve a lot of the credit because, it's you and it's us that help you out. And at least this is my view. And so you deserve everything. And yeah, that's it.
Well, thank you. It's been it's been quite a ride, and can't wait to do episode 2000 someday. Can't wait to do episode 5000 when I'm an old man. That'll be fun times. let's go to Tankathon, because the Thunder right now sit at 21-46. No, 21-48. Oh, I had a really old Tankathon page up on my screen for some reason. 21-48. They've lost 7 in a row, 1-9 in the last. And that stupid Boston game, Mekele, that has screwed everything up. Because had they won that game, they'd be tied for second right now with Detroit.
Yeah.
It is without a doubt the worst win in Thunder franchise history. Right? I don't think that's hyperbole. I don't think that's hyperbole at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's a stupid victory for sure. It's all Boston fault, though.
It is. That team is stupid. That team sucks. I hate that team. That is such... that team should be much, much better, and they just cannot get wins.
Maybe this is their punishment. I mean, they are just not consistent. Yeah. They should be very, very good, even if Kemba doesn't play.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they have 3 very, very good players. I don't have any idea why they decided to give away Tice. I mean, I have absolutely no idea.
Luxury tax.
Yeah, but yes, of course. Of course, yes. But don't get Fournier. I mean, why are you doing... It's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, you have something. You have something real. I mean, you cannot waste a year.
Yeah.
I mean, the tale of OKC should be a tale that everyone reads and react. I mean, there is no such thing as certainty in terms of health. Like next year, Tatum and Brown could be down because of injuries. I mean, I really hope not, because they are so much fun, and the East with 2 stars is better than without. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you really waste a year almost in their prime? That is, to me, I mean, they know that you wasted a year. Mm-hmm. They really know. And if that lingers, I mean, you're not sure of what happens in 2 years. I mean, Tatum can ask out just because he didn't maximize his time with Jaylen Brown. I mean, those things happen for real. So I'm not saying that Boston is on a downward path, because when you have that talent, you are always in a good spot. But wasting a year is not a wise choice, especially because, I mean, yes, he signed Fournier. So what?
Yeah.
What options do you have now? I mean, he's expiring, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he is.
So
yeah.
His salary doesn't count anything. You have that TPE. That is your only way.
And there's not a lot of it. There's not as much of it left.
Yeah, yeah, because they use it for him. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so the only option is to maybe trade Kemba. But what is the value of Kemba? Is it the first? I don't know.
Probably not.
I wouldn't pay.
No. I don't know anybody that would. I don't think you should not do that. stay away from that. Everybody, if Danny calls, hang up.
Yeah. I mean, there are teams where it makes sense, but I mean, why paying? What is the leverage that they have? I mean, I'm not saying they are screwed, because again, Tatum is top 10, top 15, top 20 player in the league, depending on where he lands.
He's really good.
So he is really, really good. He's one of, he's probably not all NBA, but borderline. So he's there. Mm-hmm. But then, like, I don't know. But anyway, back to OKC. It was a very stupid win.
It was such a bad win. So Tuesday, May 11th, this is the day. If you're looking for a day to figure out how a lot of this stuff is going to shake out, that's the day. One, OKC plays for the third time in what feels like minutes. They have to play Sacramento again. It's just... You just look at it and you're like, that it has to be a misprint. Nope. They do. They play them again in Sacramento Tuesday night.
I forgot this morning.
Dude, completely. I know.
Like, Middle said, well, I don't want to see Metu play again. And John said, well, tomorrow, Mickey. Said,
yeah.
Right.
Metu's okay. Metu's all right.
Yeah.
He's had a pretty good season for them. In the last 2 weeks, I've watched way more of him than I would have ever wanted to.
Nice touch.
And yeah, he does have nice touch. And so that day, it's OKC Sacramento. And if it's anything like it was yesterday, I mean, the Thunder lost by 28 to Sacramento. That's pretty bad. So they play them again, and then Detroit, Minnesota is that night. So huge implications here. Minnesota has been much, much better. They're 6-4 in their last 10. They've been a lot better, and it's pretty wild to me. Either outcome is not bad for OKC. I would guess Minnesota will win that. Minnesota is kind of on a roll here. So I would guess Minnesota wins that game if either of those teams are going to win. One will win, certainly. I would guess Minnesota, and then that would separate them out of this 21-47 group. The potential like four-way ties that could happen between these teams. So we've had people ask, like, what's the procedures for if teams tie? Well, one, they split the odds, and then they do a coin flip is how they would do it if need be. So if you're picked in the top five, you know, you split those odds, you get selected in the top five, you're good to go. If you fall out of that, then you would do a coin flip for who picks first. So that's how it works. It's not anything like it is for the playoff tiebreakers. So that's that. Big, big week for the Thunder. They need to lose out, and then they still end up under the Vegas over-under, which is so wild. I mean, McKelly, the Thunder have won two games since March 24th. They've won two games.
Well, that checks with the eye two. Test. I mean, yeah. It's there. I mean, you can see it. And this is, I mean, they just don't have a functional offense. And they rarely have a good defense. So that is a good recipe for a disaster. Mm-hmm. Back to the... I blacked out for a second, by the way, so I didn't hear the full sentence. But I really think that Minnesota winning, it's probably better for OKC to some degree. Because in some sense, if you want the highest... if Detroit wins and you lose out, then it's great, because at worst you are in a four team tie and everyone is at 21, and probably Minnesota will have they can have another win. Mm-hmm. But if they don't and you somehow win one, like the fact that you have Minnesota there and not behind you, it's great.
Yeah,
because you get a little bit of extra. So I don't really know. Probably having Minnesota away from the tie, maybe the Magic, I don't think they can win one, but they play Philadelphia twice.
Right.
And Philly will likely have nothing to play for. So the Magic can win one as well. Cleveland, it's in the same boat. I mean, Brooklyn doesn't really have anything to play for, probably. And OKC instead, I mean, Sacramento still have hopes. Utah, I mean, if they win against OKC, they probably seal the number one spot. Mm-hmm. And the Clippers, I mean, the Clippers are weird because they are one up to Denver, and Denver plays Minnesota. They play also another of these bad teams. Well, they already played probably, I don't know. Well, there is at least another one that is a gimme. Well, Detroit and Minnesota, they play both Detroit and Minnesota. So they have a very easy schedule. So it's unlikely that they lose ground to the Clippers. Mm-hmm. And so I really think that all the games for OKC will be meaningful. And it's likely that they lose out.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Or at least it's not likely that they lose out. It's likely that they will find an interested opponent, which is very good.
They're going to win. That's all I have to say. They're going to win in Sacramento. Yeah, I predicted it last week. I'm predicting it again today. They're going to win Tuesday. Just get ready for it, everybody. This is we're getting down to the wire here, and I'm glad that this is where the Thunder are. It felt like, I mean, before they went on that run where they only won two games in the span of a month and a half, they had won 6 of 10.
Yeah,
that's where they were, and it was like, okay, are you guys pumped for the 10th pick in the draft? You guys pumped for that? I'm not pumped for that. Apparently the Thunder weren't pumped for that either. You know, a lot of it's SGA. I mean, a majority of it's SGA. But you know, I think there's some wacky rotations out there. They're trying guys out. Kenrich Williams isn't playing. You know, Jalen Horde is actually, and I kind of like Jalen Horde. Is that, am I wrong?
Yeah. No. Defensively, he's quite good. Yeah. And he plays within himself. And
he's like a good size. He could be a little versatile on the defensive end. I don't think he's like poor man's Mo Harkless. Like, I don't know what he is, you know, like he's just decent size, like good. Like he's the size of every NBA player you want, right? Like 6'8",
yeah.
Long arms, can run, cool, you know?
Yeah, exactly. A nice player to keep around. I mean, if you say, well, next year I will likely give you again a two-way or even a minimum contract.
Yeah, give him the two-way. Yeah, give him the two-way. Why not? Cares.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that can. I mean, say you have a mild injury to someone and he has to play a week or two. I don't think he's a deterrent. He's not great offensively, not even good, mm-hmm. but he can play so defensively. So that is always a plus. And I don't dismiss the fact that with Hami, with the second unit, that unit was productive, weirdly productive.
Yep.
Without, not so much.
Yep. All right. You ever do the draft simulator? The lottery simulator, I mean?
Yeah. I'm doing that.
So when you do it, do you play the game in your head? Okay, now this one is the official one, and you close your eyes and you hit the button and you open your eyes to see what it
is. I just stare at good combination like for like 5 seconds and say, I really hope that is the case.
Okay. I don't do this often because it's very unproductive. But it is interesting. So let's send the lottery live on YouTube. If you're on the stream, great. You get to see it. If you're not, subscribe to our YouTube channel and you can come see it.
I guess number 64 could see next one.
Yeah, here we go. Five. So OKC's at 5. Houston stays at 1. Yeah, this is a hard look at reality. And then OKC gets 19.
But if that happens... If that happens, that is still good.
Still good.
Not great.
And this is why you want 3. People are like, oh, I don't know why you want to... Like, this is why you want 3. They fell 2 spots and you're still like, you can still breathe a little bit. They fall to 6, like, immediately there's no air. All the air's out of the room. Like, Simmons again, they jump up to number 2 and they get number 5. See, like, that's like, oh, Lord, help me. Heart attack. There's heart attacks, and then there's no air in the room, and then there's like the middle, and then
this is
good too. 4 and 5.
Do we, stop 1 second right there. This is where Cleveland calls you and says,
"Oh,
we don't like Mobley,
yeah,
but we really, really, really do like Jalen Green and Jalen Suggs.
Yeah.
Either works for us. So if you promise us to get Mobley, we'll give you the pick. What do you do?
So it would be like 4 and a future first for 2?
No. 4 and 5.
Oh,
for Mobley.
Screw off, bro. Get out of here. No. No way, dude.
That is me too.
No way, bro. No, I like Mobley a lot. If I can have Jalen Suggs or Jalen Green and Kuminga, sorry, get out of here, dude.
What if somehow Cleveland is really high on either Jalen Suggs or Green, but they don't like Cade for some reason, and Cade is there?
Yeah.
Would you do 4 and 5 for Cade?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
Would you not? You say interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, interesting. You should.
Interesting that you agree.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a really interesting outcome because I think Orlando just takes him. I think Cade is gone.
Yeah, me too.
And then Cleveland is a weird one. I think they just take Mobley. And I think Detroit just takes whoever they like. Who would you take if you're at 3 for Detroit if Mobley's gone?
You take Jalen Suggs. I have enough information. I really need to look into Jalen Green.
Yeah. I hope they take, either one, you get Suggs or Green. At 4, I'm just elated either way, to be honest.
Would you trade down with 5 if you don't like Kuminga enough?
Maybe. Who would you take?
I don't know. Yeah, you know more than me. I need to do my deep dive.
I honestly don't know. I don't know if I would. Scotty Barnes is just a really interesting fit with this particular team and like the new age Thunder. Yeah, like from he's 6 foot nine. He averaged almost six assists per 36 minutes. Like that's more than every other guy in the top five.
Yeah. I wonder if you do something where you trade down and you get two players. Like you get number six for Golden State in that simulation and then another one for Golden State, something like that. Where you get two players and I don't know. I really need to look forward to look into the players, because four and five, it seems stupid to not take someone there.
I think you should just take Kuminga, but it just depends on your evaluations. I mean, I can give my evaluations and they mean diddly squat, but like the Thunder, whatever their evaluations are, I have no clue. And if they trade down, it's because like they know, one, they can pick up an additional asset, and two, like they know something we don't know, and they know lots of things we don't know. That's just like the fact of the matter is they know a ton of stuff we don't know, except for when it comes to Ferguson and Anunoby. Like we know lots of things that they don't know.
It's still bad. Really bad.
It's bad, man. It's bad. OG could be on this team. All right, let's sim the lottery one more time, and then we'll go over to the stream. Oh,
nice.
Gosh. It's a good roll.
That is
it's a good roll. They ended up with two and five. Oh, Lord, help me.
That one is, I don't know if Tankathon is fixed or something, but this is the combination that by far I get. I need to run the odds and see if 2 and 5 is among the ones that give you two picks inside the top five, if that is the likeliest. I really wonder. I don't know.
I don't know either. I gotta stop. I'm addicted now. Great.
Yeah.
Tyler Carroll's here. He's asked if I can send you my Tankathon file. Yeah, man. dtdpodcast@gmail.com. Send it over. It'd be great.
Yeah, Tyler, you did the. I'm just talking to him right now. Yeah. You did all the math. I'm sure those are correct. Is there any combination that is more likely than not? It sounds not right from a mathematical standpoint, but maybe I'm missing something.
Yeah.
So if you can answer, we will probably read the answer.
Yeah, we'll read it. We're going to go through the stream right now. Jeremy Wiggins on the stream. We have Miroslav. We have Hoopsock69, who's here. Doof 214. We have Miroslav, who is in Germany. We have Acharya in India. We have Nate Thomas saying, happy Monday, everybody. Nathan Creamer says, such a special podcast last Friday. I smiled through the whole thing. Thank you so much. Bain in London. We have Lawrence Field in Boston. We have Wojciech in Poland. We have Yoni in Israel. We have Isaiah in the Philippines. We have Falk in Denmark. Dina Lawson in Tulsa. Let's see. Nathan Stinson in Poto, Oklahoma. We have To Tattoo in the Dominican Republic. Very cool. Luke Babbitt says, late congrats on the 1,000 episodes. Love listening to you guys every week. Thank you so much. Hoopstalk69 still on here talking. Tyler Carroll, what's up, Tyler? Tyler's doing lots of work for the Thunder community out there. Very good stuff. John Downs from Tacoma. Crimson King says, thanks for the stream. You're welcome. Jake Hendricks in Kansas City. Let's see, Andrew in Nashville, Imperfect Space, who is John Dowling. He's in OKC. Thanks so much for joining. Tyler Carroll says, two picks in the top five, it's about 5 to 6% in it for each combo.
Yeah, I was thinking in the wrong, from the wrong perspective. Of course, if you get two in the top five, it means that one is five and the others are just equally. Thank you, Tyler. That is obviously the right, the right one. So it's good.
Hoopsock 69, big Scotty Barnes hater. Wow. See how much you hate him when he's on the Thunder next year. Hoops talk. See how things are going on the moon then, bro. All right, we'll take a quick break. Afterwards, we will talk about Thunder stats.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And we're back from that quick break. Michele, we're going to talk some Thunder stats courtesy of CleaningTheGlass.com.
Awesome site.
Great site. It's like the stats site, I would say, if you want to find some interesting stats. Yeah. So one interesting stat that they put out there is and one percentage. Which is really fun. So it's what percentage of the time of shooting fouls drawn did the player also make the shot? So these guys have to be low. These top guys have to be low percentage, but and didn't get fouled a whole lot. But you want to guess the top three? One of them's not on the team. Two of them are technically on the team.
So we are just discussing OKC, right?
Just OKC, yeah.
Yeah, so the first one is Hamidou Diallo.
It's not Hamidou Diallo.
Oh. Oh.
Hamidou Diallo finishes 25% of, he has 25% and one percentage, which is 59th percentile.
Okay.
Still like pretty good, like good, not great. It's Al Horford is number one. 60%. But it's got to be low. Like, it's got to be. I don't know how many times Al Horford got fouled, but it's got to be so low. And then Mike Muscala and then George Hill are the tops. But can you guess the player that...
No, but wait a second. Wait. Then I got the stat wrong. Mm. So you ask me what? What are the guys that complete the more... And once or the percentage?
A percentage. It's the percentage of times that they... Here, let me read the exact one. What percentage of shooting fouls drawn did the player also make the shot? Is and one percentage.
Oh, I see. Okay. No. That first guess was completely stupid. It is for players that don't get free throws, but the one that they get are because of they are and ones or...
Yeah.
Does it count the amount of times that they free throws?
It's the amount of times they finish the and.
Oh,
one.
I see. Okay. Then Horford makes sense.
Okay. So who is okay. So who would be the top guy that's played, you know, a big chunk of minutes for this team?
Well, Shea finishes pretty well, I would say.
So Shea is down the list. He is 24.1%, which is in the 59th percentile.
Okay, so not good. Dort doesn't finish at all. So
Dort is 22% and one percentage. Mm-hmm. He's 40th percentile. Not so
yeah,
good.
Yeah. No, that is not good. Kenny doesn't get foul. Svi doesn't get foul. Basically, like recently, I'm sure that basically, if you restrict to the last 10, 15 games, mm-hmm. basically should be a good percentage because he finishes a lot. So I would say basically is should be okay.
21.2%, worse than Dort.
Thank you. Then I got nothing else.
Moses Brown is the best on the team.
But how many?
28%.
How many and ones in total?
See, that's the one thing that they're not giving me on here. A lot of times you can go over the highlighter and it'll tell you how many, but it's not telling me how many. But Moses Brown is number one, 28.6% and one percentage. Mm-hmm. It's when you're fouled on or shot. Tao Maledon, yeah, number two, 25.5%. Oh. Then Hami at 25.4%. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was really interesting. And then you go all the way down, like Poku is 12%.
Well, yeah.
Tony Bradley, 11%.
But I mean, Shea's number is interesting because he get fouled a lot. Yeah. So it basically says that every game he has at least an N1 or more, mm-hmm, 1.5. Because I mean, if he finishes 25%, he gets fouled a lot on drives. And so that is actually a good number. I wonder how that compares league-wide. Like, say that you get a James Harden, or can you get to start quickly the stats on James Harden?
Mm-hmm.
The same one, just to have a frame of reference. Like, he's way better than Shea, or it's just like that the better numbers are low number of attempts.
Kevin, he's about the same as Kevin, 25% for Kevin, 22% for Kyrie Irving. James Harden, mm-hmm, is low, 16% of the time. He's finishing.
Wow. Last season? Can you check quickly, his last season in Houston?
Yes. Give me just a second and I can.
This is great podcasting, by the way. Me hijacking completely.
You just tried to figure out.
Sorry. No, but okay. now it's interesting.
Last season, James Harden, 22.5%, worse than Shea. Russ is 24.7%, which is about what Shea is.
Yeah. So that is a very good number. So if you take that into account, that he gets fouled a lot and still is able to finish 25%, that is a very good number.
Mm-hmm.
That is very interesting.
Yeah. It is interesting. Okay, this one blew my mind a little bit, and it's not surprising, but when you just see the stark contrast in the number, it is a little surprising. So, so this is assisted rate. How often was a player assisted on all of their made shots? So just guess the percentage for Shea.
Oh, that I know by heart. I think it's between 10 and 15%.
Yes, 13%. Now guess the number two and the number.
It's probably around 30%. And it's likely another, I would say it's Bazley, and it's around 30%.
It's 47%. Mm. And it's Hamadou Diallo when he was on the team.
Oh, yeah, Hami. Yes, yes, yes.
We go from 13 to 47. So this is something that we need to start considering.
Yeah.
Hopefully, they're able to get one of these top guys, Suggs, Green, whoever, that can go get a shot of their own. And if you think Shea is good now, if you think he's a good player now, let's try putting a player that has gravity around him, that people care if they have the basketball. Because you look up and down this list, nobody cares if they had the basketball. Nobody cares. It was all about Shea. And he was efficient. He was productive. And he had basically nobody helping him out.
Yes, and that also explains a bit the skewed number that Shea had in terms of plus minus. I mean, to me, it was, yes, a little bit of flow. Like when Shea doesn't play, then there is more flow, and you can argue that flow helps rhythm and helps shooting, blah, blah, blah. But you could see that when Shea was having a great night, and also the team was shooting well, I mean, that team was unstoppable. That team was just winning because Shea is that good. And if you have to pay attention to anyone, then, I mean, he's great. The fact that he has this low amount of assist shot, and the fact that he drives more than probably anyone in the league, and he's one of the most efficient on drives, that is insane to me. I mean,
it's insane.
That speaks of number one guy. And when you think about maximizing him, it's it's not different from what Harden had in Houston. Now, you may want to have a more functional team around him because he's not Harden, and probably you can still construct something. But he has that kind of gravity. He can do everything. I mean, the only thing that he really needs to learn is to move without the ball, because I think it's crucial. Yeah.
Especially when he has another player to play off of.
Exactly, exactly. And this is what, I mean, this is why I love Poku so much with Shai. I mean, let alone if they draft Cade or if you have another super duper scorer in Jalen Green. That is why Golden State was working. It's because you have a crazy genius basketball mind in Draymond that you can hate. Yes, hate him, but he's one of the best thinker of the game that there is in the league, together with Jokic and guys like that. Mm-hmm. And then you have a pure shooter slash scorer in Klay Thompson. You cannot leave Steph because he's great. If you do it, then you're dead. If you play the pick and roll too hard, then Draymond will find another guy because you need to send a double team. Mm-hmm. And all that with having a guy that is glued to Klay Thompson, because, I mean, if you move from him, then it's a three-pointer. This is a recipe that OKC can replicate if Poku becomes at least an okay three-point shooter.
Yeah.
Because the vision is there. Mm-hmm. I mean, he throws passes that are insanely good in terms of timing, in terms of accuracy. So that's the blueprint to me. And you're right. Get Jalen Green, get Suggs, get whoever can draw attention, and Shai will be much more efficient. It was long, but
no, and we forget about Shai a little bit because we haven't seen him play in forever. But I just want to highlight some Shai stuff today because we forget, like, this guy is on the star trajectory. That's what he's on. So let's just, for this next one, I want to just go to the raw stats first. And I just want to talk about his 3-point improvement over the course of his 3 years in the NBA. First year with the Clippers, he kind of came in as a guy that we didn't really know what kind of shooter he would be. And he was 36% on 1.7 attempts. Like, low, but pretty good percentage, and trying to figure out if that's real or not. The next season...
Yeah, that is exactly what we said at the beginning of when the trade happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good, but we don't know if it's real or not.
139 attempts. You're like, okay.
Yeah,
like, at least small. He's probably an average NBA shooter, and that's cool. Great. Next season, comes back, takes 251 threes, and he's 34.7%. Still like, okay, well, more volume, good. The percentage dipped a little bit because of the volume. That was to be expected. Cool, whatever. This season, he's only taken 173s, and that's just because of games played. Now, he only played 35 games this year compared to 70 from last year. 41.8% on 6 attempts per game is a wild number. And so the stat that I wanted to go to is assisted rate on made threes. How often was a player assisted on their made shots from three? What is Shai's number?
Let's see. If the total is 15%, and I guess his three-point rate is around... So 6 shot, which is 30% of his amount, 30, even a little bit more. And I would say that he doesn't get too many assists from 2-pointers. So I would say that he's in 10%. Then it's probably around 24%.
So it's 30%.
Okay. A little bit higher. Then it's even less than what I thought from 2.
So
he basically doesn't get assists.
So that means 70% of the threes that he makes are off the dribble.
Yeah.
That is freaking crazy. Like, that's insanity.
Yeah.
That is down. He shot, so 46% of his shots, 3-point shots last season, were off the dribble. This season, it's 70%. And his accuracy is better. He became a better player. Not only is he leading the league in drives, not only is he finishing, not only is his assist rate better, he's taking 70% of his threes off the dribble, and he's making a higher percentage of them. So his assisted three percentage is 30%. Guess the next lowest and who it is.
So the next lowest.
There's actually three guys tied. One of them's not on the team anymore, so I'll mark him off. But there's two guys that are tied that are still on the team.
Well, Lu Dort takes unassisted threes.
He does. It's not as many as you would think.
Okay.
I'll tell you his percentage. Basley his assisted does as well. Percentage on threes is 89% for Dort.
Oh, that I didn't expect. I thought that the last, but it's probably because he doesn't really play every game. And it's just once in a while. He
plays. So one thing that Dort does that I would almost call, like it is assisted, but it's almost not, is that he is becoming really good at relocating around the court and finding those pockets where he gets himself open off of the relocation. And then it's like a no-brainer. Just shuffle it to him and he hits a three. Like that is the work of Lu Dort. You know, like that's not Tao. That's not Kenrich. That's not whoever it was that passed it to him. That was him creating the three. And so I've seen that more often from him lately. And so this doesn't take that into account, which I would probably.
No, but it's right.
It's still assisted, but you know what I mean? Like he created the opportunity. Yeah.
So it's probably right around or a little below 50%, or a little bit above 50%, the second one. And it's probably one of the.
Much higher than that.
Oh, really?
Much.
Then it is, again, Tao Maledon, but it's...
It is Tao. Tao is one of the guys there.
But it's like 70?
79%, Michele.
Whoa!
So we talked about the difference from 13 to 55. Or no, it's 13 to 47. Right. That's huge, right? And that's on all shots.
Yeah.
Like, that's wild.
Yeah, you're right.
But from 30 to 80?
Yeah.
Like he's the only guy creating threes. He was the only guy doing it. Because then like Ty Jerome is 79. Baisley's 86. Sfi, 88. Dort, 89. Roby, 90.
See? Yeah.
Poku, 94. And then you go to like Gabriel Dex only taking assisted threes.
Yeah.
Josh Hall. Mike Muscala was 97.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike is always spot up.
Yeah. Kenrich 93. Yeah, I mean dude, you want to just talk about stats that just outline a superstar.
Yeah.
Like this is them.
Shot creation.
Like this is it. If you want to know if SGA is going to be a star, like this is what you'd look for. What can he generate on his own? What it is it's everything. Like it's everything. It's around the rim. It's mid-range. It's assisted it's threes because he's only assisted 30% of the time. He's creating those three-point shot opportunities and he's making the most of it. I mean, this is if he just stayed this guy, right? And he just had players around him that were better, that makes you better. That makes you a better player, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like he would just get better through that. But the fact is, like, he's still a young player. He's still developing. The guy wants to get better. You know, he doesn't turn 23 until July. Like, he wants to be the leader of this team. He wants to be better. And I said this on local news last night. Like, I think that Shea's ceiling is higher than what people are even imagining right now. And it was through this season. And a lot of people kind of got on me that I wasn't down on Shea. I just kind of questioned what he was going to be. I didn't know. Like, if you were predicting this, like, you're just a big homer. You know, like, I don't see, there's nothing that shows that this was coming, right? He has become a different and better player because it was, you know, over half of his threes were assisted last season. It has been a wild experience with Shea, and I think he's going to be fine. I don't think this is going to be a lingering injury. You know, he's not been walking around in a boot for 10 weeks or anything like that. I think he'll be back and ready to play once next season starts. And, you know, the hope of the Thunder fan base, the hope of everybody is that they will get some lottery luck like we were talking about earlier in the show. And they're able to bring in guys that have extensive gravity on the basketball court. And that will change the trajectory of this team. And I like Scottie Barnes for all the reasons that you were talking about Draymond Green. I don't know that he could be Draymond Green on the defensive end, but offensively, he's going to contribute. And I didn't know this until Sam Vecenie talked about in his podcast, but Scottie Barnes played with Cade Cunningham in high school, which I think is really pretty interesting. So he's played with like star level guys before, just an interesting little tick there for him.
Question for you. Mm-hmm. Say that something goes well into the lottery and you get the guy you want, no matter where, and you have an extra pick. Mm-hmm. And the reason teams is desperate to retool because they have too many big men and they shop one. And so they call and say, well, we'll give you back Domas for number 6, 5, whatever. And you already got the guy you want. Would you at least consider it?
I would consider it. I don't know. There's weird intel about Domas.
Really?
There's some weird stuff about Domas, man, that makes me not want to do something like that.
Well, I really like him.
I think it'd be perfect for Shea. I think it'd be perfect for a lot of things. I don't know. I mean, it all depends on the evaluations of whoever's there, right? It all depends on that. And I don't know what
I don't know what
their evaluations are if they think, but you're already getting back a all-star level center. I also don't know. I mean, if you're Indy, do you do that? I mean, I think if and when Indy fires everybody, they have chosen Domas. Right?
Yeah.
Like they're planting their flag on Domas Island once they fire Bjorklund and everybody else, right?
So you say, yeah, yeah.
So I don't even know that's a possibility. Maybe if they're like, man, we actually doing a little heel turn. We think that Nate Bjorklund's the future of the NBA. We need to clear house with the players. They won't do that, but it's an interesting what if. I would probably say yes to it. But the Thunder are gonna have to feel really good about some things about him that I don't know if I feel good about them today.
Well, I really love the idea of having a center that can do everything, included playing pick and roll with Shea at a very, very high level. Yeah. Because that, I think, will unlock so many things for Shea.
Yeah.
And maybe that center is not Domas. And, I mean, likely that center is will not be Domas. But I really like the idea of a savvy pick and roll player.
He's averaging six assists a game this season. He's 20-11-6.
Yeah.
He's very, very good. If they could, I don't know. I mean, they do a lot of in-league scouting too, so they would know.
Yeah.
What's going on with him. But yeah, I mean, that would be fun. Like, that would be a really fun team. And you still have Poku on that team who's going to be whatever he's going to be.
A wild man.
He's going to be a wild man, no doubt. No doubt about that.
But those thoughts were extremely interesting. I mean, I heard a lot of podcasts talking about Shea. Probably we already mentioned it in the Dream Team or wherever. But it's incredible. Mm-hmm. Like the three-point shooting is, I wouldn't say normal because it's not normal. Mm-hmm. But there are stars that take the majority of the shots as a off the dribble three, like Lillard does. I'm not sure if it's 30%, but it will be around that number. He also has better passers, so I wonder how that impacts Shea, because there is no one that can really pass the ball to him. Harden was at that level. Steph can take whatever amount of threes off the dribble. He does the relocation just because it's, I mean, again, he has guys that can pass the ball to him. Otherwise, I mean, would you trust Steph to take 70% of his shots off the dribble? Sure.
Guess what Lillard's percentage is of assisted threes?
I don't know. I would say it's less than Shea, but again, just because it's probably he has better passers.
Yeah, 41%.
Assisted? Yeah, that's okay. Again, 10%. I mean, you need someone who can pass you the ball, mm-hmm. and Shea doesn't have that. Sorry, mm-hmm. Theo. Sorry, whoever. I mean, it's really not. I mean, Lillard has CJ and Nurk and guys like that that can really pass the ball to him. Not Melo, but the others can really pass.
Guess Luka.
Luka has a low percentage of assisted threes, mm-hmm. lower than Shea, I would say.
23%.
Yeah, Luka takes a lot of them.
And he's at 13% assisted on all shots as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Luka, he is awesome. Yeah. He's also less efficient, I would say, overall, compared to Shea. In terms of
without a doubt, he's less efficient. Yes,
this is why. I mean, I don't know what if Shea takes 25 shots. What is the perception of him,
dude? I don't know. I think that I don't know, and that's why I'm so intrigued. And this is why this draft is so important, is because I think it could unlock that in Shea. Yeah. Like, I think it could unlock this offensive powerhouse, because the more he's taken on and the more things he has to do, the better he's gotten. And so, like,
which is scary.
What, like, where's the limit, right? Where's the limit with Shea? Mm-hmm. Obviously, he hasn't even approached that yet.
No. It doesn't seem like. Like the great players, I mean, this is an old stuff that I already said probably a gazillion times. So I'm sorry if I repeat myself, I'm getting old. But stars, what makes them what they are is the improvement that they do one season from the other. Look at KD. I vividly remember when he was injured. OKC got Anthony Morrow and he barely played with him. Then mm-hmm. next season, game number one, KD features Anthony Morrow's shot, like the shot where you don't bring the ball down. Was something. You say, see, that is a player that took advantage of someone else that was on his team, and he basically stole that shot and making it his own. And that was the fadeaway. It was the passing. Like, you could see KD improving every single season. And Russ, look, Russ, after the finals, those shots compared to one that he took in his MVP season, he completely changed the motion. He completely changed the way in which he passed the ball, that he became a rebounder. Now, not everything is functional, not everything is, but that was constant improvement. Mm-hmm. And look, Harden, I mean, the step back, that is something that was non-existent for him when he went into the league. So Shea is doing that consistently. It's year three where you could see every single year improvement, new stuff. I mean, the step back, the side step three, he barely attempted those last season. Barely. I mean, it's unbelievable. And again, this is what makes Star what they are. And I mean, with Shea, hopes are really high. If he stays that way, great. He's an awesome number two, which is very, very good.
It's very good. I mean, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the players that are assisted on 30% of their threes and less. The list is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's it. The list ends there.
Luka and Shea are two.
Luka and Shea are two of them. James Harden, this season mm-hmm. with Brooklyn. And then there's two other guys. It's Giannis and it's Trae Young. The list is over. Yeah. In order of the least to most and up to 30%, Luka Doncic, 23%. James Harden, 24%. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 28%. Trae Young, 28%. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 30%. List yeah. over.
Can you name the percentage of them?
Yeah.
Do you have them?
Yeah, 30%. 30% for Shai, 28 for Trae, 28 for Giannis.
No, I meant the
what
field
their,
goal percentage. Yes, are those unassisted threes?
What their 3-point percentage is?
Yeah.
Oh shoot. Not easily.
If you stall,
I can get there. So Trae Young is 35% from three. Mm-hmm. Giannis,
but just on those unassisted ones, is there a way to separate?
There probably is. I just don't have it on me. We can just go raw percentage, even, which because it's a majority of their shots are coming.
Yeah.
Unassisted. Giannis is 30% from three. Mm-hmm. Harden in Brooklyn is 36%. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. We're talking about this group. And then Luka doesn't shoot a good percentage. Of yeah. all of these guys, he shoots the best. He's 35%. Luka's 35%. He shoots the best percentage by 7 percentage points on threes. And he is in the top 5 for unassisted threes in the league.
Yeah, that is...
That is insane. And I'm not saying that, oh my gosh, he's so much better than Giannis. He's so much better than Luka. He's not. But here's the thing. Maybe that won't be for long. Just saying. Get better players around him. You have a coach that's implementing yeah. a system that fits him well, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Okay, I'm going to end the pod there. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. You can follow Mikaeli on Twitter at Mikey Barra. Follow me on Twitter, Andrew K. Schlecht. Enjoy your Monday, and we will talk to you guys again on Wednesday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.